Great big thank you, Brian, for all that you consistently do and leading in right out of the tip of things endeavors for us. We're so grateful. Thanks for leading us in prayer moments together right there. Speaking of prayer, when we're all done today, if you're in a spot where you'd like some prayer support, some encouragement, some prayers for hope and healing, prayer team will be here at the front, so we invite you. This is true every week, what we in an extra special way today, invite you to come and receive prayer, share, and be encouraged, find fresh hope. Also want to encourage you, if you haven't done it yet, to jump on the church app. Church Center is the name of the app, and you can simply select Manor Church. If you're not familiar with that yet, Church Center, Manor Church, and every week under message notes, we have goodies loaded up there for you in terms of the key points of the message, links to the scriptures, and other thought-provoking questions that can help stir your ongoing growth throughout the week. So what's unique and exciting for you about the Thanksgiving week that's coming up? What's unique and exciting for you for this week coming up? I have some really sweet recollection of Thanksgiving, numerous Thanksgivings at my grandma and grandpa's house as a child. We were always there. That was just the go-to spot. How many of you, that's true? Grandma's house, there was a season when it was just, that was it. That's where you went. Okay, yeah, lots of you, I know. Always there. And I'm so grateful looking back on that. A set of snapshots flood my memory. One Thanksgiving snapshot is a car ride from Michigan to Ohio on Thanksgiving Eve, on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It was a gray, chilly Wednesday afternoon. I was middle school age. And these were the days before onboard DVD players or any portable digital devices. How in the world did kids survive back then? I mean, seriously. Well, let me tell you how we survived. This is the snapshot. Our five-hour trek was so much sweeter because my mom read to us. That trip, mom read to us, and the author was picturesque. Now, I laugh looking back on it because this was a book with stories, but they weren't really children's stories. This was actually more sermonic or devotional in nature, but the author's style was so story-oriented and picturesque that it just grabbed my attention, and it made that car ride that much easier. It truly did. And then another snapshot involves all the pie baking. How many of you will do some pie baking this coming week? How many of you will enjoy somebody else doing the pie baking this coming week? Yeah. I remember at my grandma's all the different family members piling in and baking pies, and then the pies would be sat out in the garage on grandma and grandpa's great big white chest freezer. Anybody remember one of those big, long chest freezers? Anybody still got one running today? Big old massive thing. And you could, you know, store all kinds of things in there. But atop it, the pies would all get spread out, and you would hope that the cats and dogs didn't go out there and get into the pies and stuff in the garage. Big snapshot for me, the pie baking and then the pie storage out there in the garage. I also have this snapshot of grandma and mom and any other visiting relatives staying up very late. And as a kid, begging to get to stay up late, and usually, you know, I'd get a little extra half hour to an hour out of them. And then I recall hearing noise early the next morning, very, very early. And I have a mental snapshot recollection of crawling out and watching as grandma and several others would be up again, working on stuff, but putting the big bird into the oven so that it would be done about noontime or noon to 1 o'clock. For the whole family to eat. And then I've got this snapshot, really, really sweet snapshot of all the guys, meaning uncles and my grandfather, early morning, back then in Ohio, the deer season ran this way. You could hunt early morning on Thanksgiving morning, and they would get up and get out there early morning. And then somehow they landed back home in time for Thanksgiving meal. It was amazing. They would land back just about the right time. And they would devour the meal, And then here's this other crazy snapshot. I recall that several of the guys, especially my young uncles, after the meal would settle in the living room with a personal pie, like loaded with whipped cream. I remember my one uncle just watching football, and within a few minutes after finishing his pie, snoring there in the big chair. And I remember thinking to myself, someday I will be that big and I will get a personal pumpkin pie. Oh, the things to aspire to, right? Snapshots like this. How about for you? What are those snapshots that you're most anticipating about your coming Thanksgiving celebration? The delicious food, no doubt. Adventuresome travel, maybe for you. Maybe you're staying put at home. Family time, watching football, maybe the Black Friday shopping starting early morning. There's a snapshot, though, that you really need this morning. There's this snapshot you really need, one that can help prepare your heart for the coming week of Thanksgiving. I'll venture to say this is the biggest, best snapshot ever. You need this one. I need this one. Psalm 99, verse 1 says this: "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake." Good chance you're asking, what in the world does this have to do with Thanksgiving? Everything, really. See, this psalm sits in a cluster of praise and thanksgiving psalms. We've been exploring them. These spotlight the Lord as king. And the whole set, really starting back in Psalm 93, Psalms 93 through 100 are aiming to stir us toward lives of grateful praise on the basis of the Lord's righteous, powerful, just, loving, faithful rule and reign. This verse is picturesque. Enthroned between the cherubim, or other translations say, above them. Some biblical scholars believe the psalmist is talking about God's historic presence hovering over top the winged ones on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, originally in the tabernacle and then eventually in the temple in Jerusalem. Perhaps. But others see this as a snapshot of the Lord's all-time heavenly kingship, or even the coming final rule and reign of King Jesus after his second coming. Whatever may be the actual timing of this snapshot, mighty cherubim are involved. Did you catch that? Cherubim are involved. And it's a lot like, what's described here is a lot like the moving scene in Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Most people hear cherubim and you immediately hear the first part, cherub. And so you might be tempted to think little Valentine-like cherubs, little chubby ones, you know, little arrows, like Valentine's Day, little flighty things. But actually, these beings are the opposite of that. Very strong, mighty, moving quite ferociously and powerfully. And that's the part that evokes and provokes the trembling and shaking of people. If you find this a bit intriguing, you'll really enjoy our upcoming Advent series called Angels. Angels. It starts two Sundays from right now at the start of the Advent season, and we're going to gain through this series some great insights about God's agents, amazing beings through whom God works to share the stunning gospel message and to get us involved in sharing the gospel message. Psalm 99, verse 1, look again there. Psalm 99:1, these words assert that he is sovereign. He's sovereign. And that evokes stunning reverence, trembling even, shaking. If you wonder, what's any good praiseworthy about that? Great question. Truth is, we all need healthy levels of shaking and awe and reverence upon encountering the Lord. Why? Well, when that happens, it shakes you up and sets you up for a life reset. And we all need that. Every one of us. Every one of us, we need spots in life when things get shaken up in our lives and then we're set up for a life reset. Few people say that they want to engage holy fear. It's not popular to think about, to talk about, but the truth is, we all need, I need, you need, some shaking and some serious reset. Encountering a snapshot of the Lord as King messes with your life mess and what feels ho-hum and mundane. Truly catching a snapshot of the Lord as your King, if you really ponder him enthroned and ruling and reigning, can shake you from your comfort zone and evoke fresh wow. A holy awe and wonder. When's the last time that happened in your life? When's the last time that there was a fresh shaking and a fresh, oh, wow, Lord, you've got my attention. Some fresh wonder and awe. It's the kind of snapshot encounter that can move you to live more alert instead of sluggish. When you really see him as your powerful King, you get motivated. You get motivated to turn from old, sinful, selfish ways and instead live anew, trusting, surrendered, serving, stronger, healthier, and more Jesus-like. And that's truly the ultimate goal. Truly the ultimate goal. To live healthier, to live more holy, is to live more like Jesus. For this coming week, it's altogether possible to get all caught up in the food, the travel, the fun, and the shopping. A whole beautiful, sweet, memory-making festivities, yes, but then totally miss getting caught up in grateful praise to our King. Watch out, it's possible for that to happen. It's possible for that to happen, to totally miss getting caught up in grateful praise to the King. So the rest of Psalm 99 supplies us with two very moving motivators for genuinely exalting the King with grateful praise. Let's look at them. Join me, please. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. Great is the Lord in Zion. He's exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Verse 4. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Exalt. Exalted. What in the world does that mean? Well, here's where you intentionally place something or someone in the high priority place. Here's where you intentionally place something or someone in the high priority place. People of Bible times use this language about elevated roadways, highways, and also up high on hills and mountains. In our day, we think this way about super high bridges or a new building in Dubai. A few years ago, I had the incredible opportunity to stand at the base of this thing and look up and go, it was truly this wow moment. Or if you've gone out in nature, if you've gone out in the West or traveled somewhere around the world and been in a very, very old forest, you've looked up at some gargantuan tree and gone, wow. Such objects are exalted, literally, and notice it, then in our perspective. Now think deeper heart and soul opportunity. Think deeper heart and soul opportunity in how we view and respond to God. The psalmist motivates us with a snapshot of the Lord's character in Zion. Did you catch that? Zion was another name for Jerusalem, the mountain capital of the king and his people. Zion was his place of good rule and reign, judging based on his beautiful righteousness and equitable justice. Twin qualities we've talked about and unpacked throughout this series. And note the repetition. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? He is holy. He is holy. And it is this huge motivator for us. Huge motivator for us moving into this Thanksgiving week so that we don't miss it, so that we don't just get all caught up in the hubbubaloo of the food and the football and all the frenzy of all of that, which is sweet and has its place. But so we don't miss the ultimate snapshot. Grateful praise to the King. Why? Because he's holy. Holy and holiness often feel confusing to us, right? Foggy concepts to grasp, and they actually get a bad rap. Here's a concept that seems, if we're honest about it, rather ethereal and inaccessible, and in a sense, that's true, since at its root, holy means separate, sacred, set apart. Apart from our human impurity and sinfulness and our own infirmities. And we have plenty of them, I do. Grasping that reality should actually motivate us to not take God casually, but instead with awe and holy fear and responsive reverence. However, we're missing the essence of holy and holiness if we snapshot him as holy and then run the other way. I've had seasons in my life when, honestly, I've done that. I've known plenty of people who do, and maybe that's you right now. In talk about and in encountering his holiness, it's easy to respond with, yipes, I'm out of here. See, at the core of sacred, set apart, is also the idea of totally unique, one of a kind, league all his own, and such like no other quality should actually captivate us and draw us closer. We label things and people like this. A part of the image of God in you is that you actually know, deep down you know how to do this. You do. We do it with restaurants. For our fam, we have a holiday favorite, fave Italian place. The style, the service, every time on point, and wonderful memories made over the years as family. And so this spot just kind of stands out as one of a kind. So once a year, we make a pilgrimage. Guys, you do this with certain makes and models of vehicles. You know it. Some of you are truck guys, and so you know the truck brand, you know the model, and you're like, okay, we're a family of Ford owners. Or it's gotta be a GMC Denali or something in that field, or Toyota Tundras, never let me down. You know what it's like, and you talk to others about it, and that's just, you know, that's up there in your thinking. Some of you do it with tractors. My brother-in-law, I love him dearly. Dan is a deer guy, right? He is a run like a deer guy. Like nothing runs like a deer. Most of Dan's wardrobe is green. No joke. Like deer green. Seriously. Some of you know about the Pie Lady. How many of you know the Pie Lady? She goes here to Manor. Don Alexander. How many of you have tasted? Yep. Many of you have not. You don't think you have, but you have partaken of the holiest pie imaginable. Donna Alexander's pie. Now, my wife, Nance, makes amazing pie. She does. But she will admit to you that Donna Alexander's pie is like league all its own, one of a kind. What have we done right here? Just in the last couple moments, what have I done? Certain products and people. People set apart, dubbed them, sacred, a league all their own, but don't miss this in the ultimate way. The psalmist says, this is why we exalt the king with joyful praise. He is holy. The only one, all wise, sinless, always ruling right, faithful, perfectly just and true through and through, utterly loyal and loving always, guiding, guarding, protecting, providing, holding it all together as your sovereign king. So what? So you and I can fully trust him. You and I can fully trust him. And with that trust comes a unique, new, fresh surrender, a new level of loving him and serving him, a new level of turning from your old, sinful, self-absorbed, worldly ways and instead running his way, running into the arms of the king. Why? Because he is so holy. He is so holy. And as a result, we can run to him and run away from the sinful darkness and all that's wrong and self-absorbed and instead turn toward our holy king, his heart, his values, his holy ways for us to live. See, it really is all about Jesus. It really is all about his heart, becoming more like him. It's the very essence of holiness. Now, there's a second snapshot motivator. We see it in the rest of the psalm. Second, snapshot motivator. Not only are we motivated to grateful praise because he is holy, but here's the second one. Listen to verses 6 through 9. Psalm 99, 6 through 9. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Verse 8, Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Here's another historical snapshot, this time historical in nature, looking back at how the king worked with characters of old. We exalt him with grateful praise, not only because he is holy, but because he mercifully answers when we call to him. He mercifully answers when we call to him. He answered Moses, Aaron, Samuel, key players in God's story, special priestly men, yes, but very human, fallible, and representatives really of all the people. They called out in prayer. And although there were indeed consequences, there are always consequences when we run our own way and not the way of the king. Though there were consequences of punishment, there was ultimately the sweet forgiveness, the mercy of the king for them. Such mercy was his loving, tender answer. The same is true for us. Same is true for us today. And so if you've known that mercy, if you've recently or in your own history called out to him for mercy, you know it. If today you choose, and I hope you do if you haven't lately, call out to him for mercy. Forgive, oh Lord. Forgive, please. You know it's true. His mercy rushes your way. So, thank him and praise him today and in the coming days this week. Thank him and praise him. Crucial to realize this powerful truth moving into Thanksgiving week. Crucial to realize. Don't just hear it today and shrug and go eat some more pie. You see, the king is holy and he mercifully answers. Don't run the other way in your heart and mind. Get moving toward King Jesus with all out grateful praise. Now watch this. Listen to this closely. Hundreds of years later, Jesus having come, died on the cross, rose again, triumphant over the grave, ascended back to the Father, working and praying and working constantly on our behalf like he's doing now today. In Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews, the great new covenant writer, captures it this way. Hebrews 12, and we're gonna jump in verse 18. Now just listen and see if this doesn't sound familiar, but uniquely different. Hebrews 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. This is what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. Now notice that the writer says that that's not our now experience. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels. There are those cherubim in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse. Note that, don't run the other way. You do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the moving of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And then catch verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be what? Thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He is holy and he answers us. So how about we very deliberately, now here's the challenge today. Let's very deliberately ask him to shape us more in Jesus' holy likeness. He delights to answer when we ask him that. Watch this. Take a look. Let's stand together. Let's sing a couple songs of grateful praise.